Let's read from the book of Job. Job chapter 36. We'll read from verse 26 and then into chapter 37. These are the words of Elihu. There was Job and then Job's three friends. And when they had finished speaking, then Elihu, who was much younger than them, he said some things, and these are the things that he said. And after he spoke, then God spoke and had the final say in the book of Job. But Job chapter 36 and verse 26. Behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered. For he draws up drops of water, which distill as rain from the mist, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Indeed, can anyone understand the spreading of clouds, the thunder from his canopy? Look, he scatters his light upon it and covers the depths of the sea. For by these he judges the peoples. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike. His thunder declares it, the cattle also concerning the rising storm. At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Hear attentively the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He sends it forth under the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it a voice roars, he thunders with his majestic voice. And he does not restrain them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. For he says to the snow, fall on the earth. Likewise to the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. He seals the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. The beasts go into dens and remain in their lairs. From the chamber of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold from the scattering winds of the north. By the breath of God ice is given amid the broad waters, and the broad waters are frozen. Also with moisture he saturates the thick clouds. He scatters his bright clouds, and they swirl about, being turned by his guidance, that they may do whatever he commands them on the face of the whole earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. Well, what about all this weather that we have had over this past number of months? It is a great conversation opener to make a comment on the weather. And I don't think a day goes past that maybe a comment on the weather is made to you, or maybe you make a comment on the weather, or you hear conversation about the weather. People just seem to greet each other. It's not a powerful day. It's not a warm day. Or if the rain is bouncing 2 feet off the road, it's not a dirty day. And people have all these comments about the weather. Even Matthew Henry, who lived from 1662 to 1714. This year is the 300th anniversary of the death of the great Bible commentator Matthew Henry. Even he said, the changes of the weather are the subject of a great deal of our common talk and observation. So even 300 years ago and more, people were meeting each other and commenting on the weather. Spring 2013 was the coldest in the UK, excuse me, since 1891. December 2013 was the stormiest since records began in 1869. January just passed was the wettest in southern UK since 1988 and the fifth wettest ever. Even the Somerset Plains, and there's just lakes have formed. You wonder where the water is going to go. The UK has experienced 3 1-in-100-year probability floods in the last 10 years. And this is, of course, the pattern around the world. California is experiencing the most severe drought since records began in 1860. Look at the beginning of 2014 and the east coast of America. The winter there in Chicago and down around that area, minus 40. People were told to stay indoors, not to go out at all. Many people died as a result of the cold and hypothermia. There is a meteorological answer to this. The Gulf Stream. People talk about the Gulf Stream has moved. It's the warm current flowing from the Gulf of Mexico to Newfoundland, crosses the North Atlantic Ocean and along the coast of Northwest Europe. And it all depends where that moves in the British Isles, if it's down here, if it's above here. But there's a theological answer. And here is Job, the book of Job. The oldest book in the Bible, maybe around 2000 BC. 4,000 years ago, the book of Job was written. And look at the comments of Elihu. The Bible has much to say about the weather and who is in charge of it. Psalm 74, verse 17 says about God, "You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter." You can see the four seasons in that well-known verse of Genesis 8 and verse 22. That while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat, will not cease. And in these verses that we read tonight, we can see autumn. We can see the four seasons. We can see autumn, chapter 36, verses 27 and 28, "For he draws up drops of water which distill as rain from the mist, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man." And these would have been the autumn rains after the drought of summer. The land of Israel has its rainy season. Many of those lands have, they talk about having their rainy season. There are few months in the year when they're guaranteed rain. Other times it can be dry. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 14 says, "Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, so that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil." The early rain being the first autumn showers and the latter rain being the last spring showers. And so we see autumn. And we can very clearly see winter in chapter 37 and verse 6. "For he says to the snow, fall on the earth. Likewise to the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. He seals the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. The beasts go into dens and remain in their lairs or their lairs. From the chamber of the south comes the whirlwind, and cold from the scattering winds of the north. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen. Winter. We see spring, verses 11 and 12. Also with moisture he saturates the thick clouds. He scatters his bright clouds, and they swirl about, being turned by his guidance, that they may do whatever he commands them on the face of the whole earth. We can see summer in verse 17. We stopped at verse 14. Verse 17 says, why are your garments hot when he quiets the earth by the south wind? And you can see summer. Why are your garments hot? In such weather, you're wearing as light clothing as you can. And what are we told to do in the four seasons? Verse 14 says, listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Verse 5 says, he does great things which we cannot comprehend. And the weather affects us all. The four seasons affect us all, and some are affected more than others. And here's my text for tonight. Job 37, verse 13. He causes it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. He causes it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. So what the weatherman calls a meteorological phenomena, Elihu calls the miracle work of Almighty God. Weather happens on a particular day because people's going to be affected. The weather on that particular day might even be life-changing for someone. It might even be the means of taking their life away from this earth. It may be the means that God will use to take them from this world. Look at the accident the other night. Lord Ballyadmond. And he got into his helicopter. Now, he was complaining for a while that there may have been some faults in the helicopter, but I'm sure the dense fog had some part to play in that accident. The weather took four lives away. I know when I was preparing this sermon on Wednesday morning, and looking out through the study window, the dense fog, couldn't see the bungalow across the road. It was as thick as pea soup, as the saying is. I couldn't see across the road. It was just white. Why? All different kinds of weather. He causes it to come, and we can see, and I use just a bit of alliteration and things. He causes it to come, whether for correction, he causes it to come to teach lessons. There's lessons to learn in the weather. The NIV has a particular line on this verse. He brings the clouds to punish men or to water his earth and show his love. But I'm using the New King James tonight because of the wording here. He caused it to come whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. We look at all different types of weather. And even look there in November, hurricane or typhoon Hainan in the Philippines. The strongest typhoon ever recorded. It killed 5,000 people. It affected something like 20 million people in the Philippines. He causes it to come to teach us lessons. And of course, we are far away from the Philippines. We don't experience typhoons and so on in this part of the world. But we look on and we're so helpless in such situations as that. Neither do we live in Hurricane Alley, as parts of the United States has been nicknamed. Every year, you're guaranteed just tornadoes and hurricanes just in the same states. And houses being just smashed to pieces. And one has said, can we conclude that the hurricanes, tornadoes, and flooding rains are often God's voice trying to tell us something? But many people just don't learn the lessons. Many have no thought of God. Many are saying, well, that doesn't affect me, and it's far away from me. It's terrible that it happened to those people, but sure, let's just get on with life. In such circumstances, we are to see how frail we are and how helpless we are, that there is a higher power, there is a greater power. And we have seen in these verses the power of God. I might encourage you that when you go home or at some point to just have a quiet moment and read these verses again. Read Job chapters 36 and 37 and just read them carefully and slowly. And one of C.S. Lewis's famous sayings is, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And God is in control of every conceivable weather pattern. And he uses weather to accomplish his purposes. He causes it to come to teach lessons. I wonder, are we good at learning them? The Bible just doesn't only speak about the storms of nature, but it speaks about the storms of life. What do we learn in those storms? Isaiah 25 and verse 4 says, for example, for you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Now that isn't speaking of any natural storm. That is a figurative storm. That is persecution it's talking about. For the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. We go through storms. We can have personal storms. We can have family storms. The storms of life, as we talk about. And God causes those storms to come to teach lessons. Do we learn in those storms? Hosea 8 and verse 7 says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. And there's the picture there of sowing and reaping. And of course, we see that elsewhere. In Galatians chapter 6, for example, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. You reap what you sow. If you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. The whirlwind is so powerful, more powerful than just a wind, more destructive than just a wind. If you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. And there are many lives tonight broken by various kinds of sin. What a storm they have come through. But they sowed the wind and they have reaped the whirlwind in their bodies. And health has broken down and all the rest of it. To teach us lessons. Lessons that we live in a delicate world. We live in a fragile world. We live in a world that where everything seems so secure and so permanent, and a weather system can come along and just uproot it and just take it away in seconds. In seconds. A person can have a lovely home and they've worked hard and they've furnished it with the way that they want it and have all the valuables and all of that type of thing. And a weather system can come along and absolutely destroy it in seconds. It's how the Lord Jesus closed his Sermon on the Mount with a weather example. Two men who built a house, one on the sand, one on a rock. And the storm came, and the rains, and the winds blew. And the house that was built on the sand fell, and the house that was built on the rock was still standing. And Jesus applied it, so it is with those who heed and obey my sayings. It's like the man who built his house on the rock. He'll stand. But those who hear my sayings and don't live them and don't accept them and don't trust them and live them out in their lives, they'll be like the one who'll collapse. The house that collapsed when the storm came. And whenever the storms come, you want to make sure that you have security, that you have a firm foundation, and when you are in the eye of the storm, that you're able to stand firm. And so you can see how we can apply these things spiritually. He causes it to come, whether for correction. Is there somebody who needs corrected tonight? Have you been living in such a way where you need corrected? And the Lord comes into your life in a way that you would never have thought. He causes it to come, whether for correction. He causes it to come to teach lessons. And then, of course, we can see the providence of God as well. He causes it to come for his land, whether for correction or for his land. He causes it to sustain life. The snow and the rain come down, and they water the earth. And we see that in Isaiah 55 verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And all the weather patterns, they're for a purpose. There is a design to them. Nothing happens haphazardly. It's all ordered. It's all structured. It is God who is behind it all. God is behind it all. The verse 31 of chapter 36. By these things he judges the peoples and gives food in abundance. Much of the food that you and me eat is from the ground. It originated in the ground. And it needs the rains to fall and the snow to fall to water the earth. If we go through a dry spell, you might have a hose where you water your garden. You may have a watering can where you go around the flower beds. And it's as if the clouds are God's big watering can to water the earth. Deuteronomy 11, again, verses 10 to 12. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. The Lord's loyalty to his land. And even in our land, we complain about the rain. You know, if we go through a dry spell, if we go through a hot spell, the conversation will turn to, you know, we need a drop of rain. And if we go through a wet spell, we'll say, you know, we need the rain to stop. We need a bit of dry weather here. The fields are saturated. And so we just change our conversation like this. But God knows what he's doing. He is the sovereign God who is over all things. He is in control. He is in control. Verse 5 says, he does great things which we cannot comprehend. Chapter 38, verses 25 to 27 says, who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? So we can look at the weather and we can say, you know, it happens to teach lessons. And it happens to sustain life. And it happens to show leniency. Or as the NIV says, he brings the clouds to punish men or to water his earth and show his love. But it says here, mercy. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy, to show leniency. Couldn't things be much worse? Couldn't things be much worse? But God holds things back. The world is never going to experience another Noahic flood? That's not going to happen. God has set his rainbow in the sky, very simply, as he did in Noah's day, as a pledge that he will never destroy the earth again with a flood. We live in a beautiful world, but we also live in a balanced world. Why there are parts of Africa that's in drought for years, and many people die of starvation? Can't answer that. We can't answer that. The ways of God are past finding out. Verse 26 here says, "Behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered." And there are really no answers to these things, to things like that. But these things happen. But we can conclude that all of these things are a result of the fall. Sin is in the world. Sin has affected every part of the world and every part of the universe. But we can look forward to that day when there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and everything will be just perfect. There will be no starvation. There will be nothing like that. Psalm 136 verse 25 says, "Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever." So where is God seen? God is seen in the Word, the Bible. God is seen in his witnesses, in his people. And we've learned that from 1 John. But let's stop and think tonight that God is seen in the weather. Do you see God? Verse 14, "Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Do you see God? Do you hear God? Verses 2 to 5, "Hear attentively the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He sends it forth under the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice." Now, there's a lot of people who don't like lightning. There are those who dive under the kitchen table or hide in the cupboard under the stairs and all of this type of thing. There are those who genuinely do not like lightning. They don't like to be outside when there's lightning. They like to be indoors. "And after it, a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain them when his voice is heard." God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. Do you see God? I'm in the weather. Will you take more notice? I'm after these verses tonight to see more of God in the weather, and to hear God, and to react as Elihu in verse 1, "At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place." Elihu's heart was moved at all of this. That this was the work of God, every weather system. Now, of course, I don't know how much snow and frost these men would have seen, but it's here. You know, this sermon hasn't mentioned Christ. It hasn't mentioned the cross. But we can see where all this points to. To come into that position where you see God more in things, where you acknowledge God, where you appreciate God, then you come by the way of the cross. You come to trust Christ as your Savior. And when someone comments to you thing about the weather, that maybe you'd be able to turn it round and use it as a point of witness and pointing them to God. And one has said, God's ways are not men's ways. And God's purposeful thoughts are on a different plane from the self-centered thoughts of men. His ways are past finding out, and we must never presume to think that we completely understand all he is doing. He is a God of many surprises, who brings his gracious will to pass in ways that are astounding to men. So Job 37 verse 13, think about it. He causes it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for his mercy. To teach lessons. To sustain life. We have sat at our tables today, and we have had our potatoes. We have had our vegetables. They came from the ground. The rain needed to fall in order for those things to grow. Let's broaden our thinking where these things are concerned. Or for mercy. To show leniency. Because things could be much worse. We all will have to leave this world at some point. If Jesus tarries, how we will die, where we will die, what we will die off, the circumstances. But you know, the weather could play a big part. The weather could play a big part. And these verses tell us, or particularly this text, that God is in control. And as a Christian, if a weather system is going to be used to take many of us home to heaven, then that's the way God ordered it, that we might go from this life and into his presence. So consider these verses and read them on your own and just let them be food for meditation.